Thank you for listening to this recorded sermon from Brownsdale Baptist Church. This message from Pastor Jonathan McCullough is titled, Tell the Story. You can listen to more recorded sermons on our website at brownsdalebaptistchurch.com.
Sometimes we're forgetful because we neglect that which has gone before us. And we become inattentive to those who've preceded us. We have a tendency to center all of our attention only on our own time and our own place. And in that, we act like the present, the here and now, is all that matters. And the past is some cheap thing that can be cast off and left behind. Memory. Remembrance. Today, we obstinately say, we will never forget. Amen.
Amen.
We choose today to remember. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's a day in which we're called to remember and respect those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for freedom, those whose days are gone. Now, I know that we've made it far less than that. Very few tomorrow will reflect on the past. In our age of constant rapid change, we don't tend to look to the past to find our wisdom. Often we view what has been as irrelevant to what is now. The ancients are not our models. We place little value in the traditions and inherited customs, and so when Memorial Day rolls around, our thoughts don't automatically turn to the past and to the departed. We think of grill outs and boat rides. Don't let that happen this year. Amen? We refuse to let that happen. We refuse this morning to forget their selflessness. We refuse to forget their sacrifice. We will never forget them. Though their names may be lost in the annals of time, though they may lay in unmarked graves where flowers can never be laid, we choose to remember them today. Don't let their stories die with them. Someone said stories left untold are stories soon forgotten, or worse, short stories soon rewritten. So tell their stories. Remember them. Every year, Memorial Day refreshes in me this mandate to remember. I begin to ponder on the past and its connection to the future. I think of transition and I think of change and how learning from the past guides our future. Remembrance is a good thing. What does the scripture say about remembrance? That's what I ask myself. Remembrance is actually a theme that's elevated throughout all of Scripture. Because you see, a failure of memory is not just something that leads to personal inconvenience. It's a spiritual danger. A failure of memory and those things which are most significant results in a failure of faith. Forgetfulness erodes the foundation of our relationship with God. You remember what He said to the children of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah? You have forgotten me days without number. Oh, the danger of forgetfulness. And that's why this thought of remembrance is a constant theme that we see in God's Word. When I think about these things, this text always comes to mind. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4? Joshua chapter 4. This is a very familiar story to most in the room. Joshua chapter 4. But when I think of forgetfulness and remembrance, this is the passage that comes to my heart and mind. Anybody hot? Y'all, I'm going to do something I don't ever do. I'm taking this jacket off. I might roll up my sleeves. Would y'all be offended if I roll up my sleeves?
Yes, sir.
Don't get scared. I'm not going to go crazy this morning. I'm not going to roll up the back of the pews.
Preach, brother.
Start a Jericho march or anything like that, but I am blistering. All right? I got saved so I didn't have to deal with this. Joshua chapter 4, verse 6. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you're not, say, wait a minute, preacher. All right, we're there. Joshua 4, verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. This morning I want to preach on this thought. I want to remind you, tell the story. Can we pray together? Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that we have a place where we can come together and we can worship you, Lord. God, I thank you for the people that have assembled in this house. Maybe there's somebody, Lord, it's been a long time since they've been in your house. I just pray that you'll bless them. And God, I just pray that as we gather around your word today, Lord, that you'll open up the eyes of our understanding, that you'll touch our hearts, Lord, and use this word to make us better people. Sanctify us with this truth. And Lord, I pray, Father, that we never forget, Lord, the sacrifices that were made for us, Lord, the people that have given so much so that we can be where we are today. I just pray, Father, that everything that is said and done would be glorified to you, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Amen. Tell the story. I want to divide this sermon this morning into four lines of thought. The first line of thought is simply the word sorrow. Sorrow. It'd be extremely careless of me to assume that everybody in this place knew exactly where we are in the history of the children of Israel. So I want to take some time to get us up to speed to where we are in this passage. You remember the story of how the Hebrew people were enslaved in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. I think everybody, you've at least seen Charlton Heston. Was it Charlton Heston that played Moses in the Ten Commandments? I think a lot of people have seen that. You at least are familiar with Egyptian bondage and 400 years of it. You were under the hand of heavy taskmasters. Matter of fact, we're just now reading about it in our Bible in a Year plan. So if you're following along with that Bible in the Year plan, we just started Exodus. And so we're reading about these things, but they're under the hand of taskmasters. Bondage was something that they knew well. It's been 400 years, so most of them, this was their way of life. This is all that they knew. They were born in the cruel grasp of oppression. Year in and year out, the group of people built, served, and bled for an oppressive ruler. And after 400 years of servitude, God sent a deliverer to lead his people out of Egypt. You know him. His name was Moses. God worked miracles, bringing plagues to reveal his power and authority, water to blood, frogs and lice and livestock, pestilence, boils and hail, locusts and darkness. And after all of that, Pharaoh's heart was still hard and hardened as he refused to let God's people go. Why don't we listen? I mean, how hard-headed can we be? But Pharaoh refused to listen to Moses. And with every refusal, things got worse. Finally, it culminated with the death of the firstborn of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh had enough. And he tells these Israelites to leave, millions of them. They left with what they could carry, and no sooner than they started their journey, they were met with obstacles. That's life, right? Life is filled with obstacles. Things seem to be looking up, and watch out, there's another test, another trial, another obstacle. The obstacle, however, was a big one. It was the Red Sea. With Egypt and slavery at their backs and the Red Sea at their front, the children of Israel had nowhere to go. They were caught in a fix. No retreat. No way around. The only way for Israel to go was forward. Forward, though, could only happen if God worked a miracle. And we know the story. That's exactly what happened. Moses raised his rod, And the children of Israel, as the waters rolled back, the Bible says that they walked across on dry ground. You know the story. Pharaoh and his armies pursued the children of Israel. They followed after them. And the Bible says that as they got into the midst of the sea, that the waters receded, came back together, and Pharaoh and his armies were swallowed up in watery graves. And that band of refugees, they were on the other side of the Red Sea in celebration. God had delivered them. Miracle after miracle. God leads them into a wilderness that should have lasted just a short time. But y'all know how hard-headed we can be. And the children of Israel were very hard-headed, and they grumbled and they mumbled and they were upset at Moses. Why did you bring us out here to die? And then God worked miracle after miracle in 40 years in that wilderness, manna, raining manna down from heaven. And they got frustrated at the manna. This is all we've got. Bread falling out of heaven. We want the cucumbers and the leeks. First of all, I don't understand why you would desire cucumbers that much. Except for dill pickles. When you that I can understand that. But 40 years they wandered around in that wilderness. Did you know that the number 40 is a significant number in biblical numerology? It's actually a number of transition. You remember Jesus was 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness before he launched his ministry. And here are the children of Israel on the brink of a major change to their future, and they've been wandering for 40 years. The number 40 suggests transition. God's taking them from one place to another place, from one generation to the next. Biblically, a generation is 40 years. When one generation turns 40, that means a new generation is starting. It's a transitional moment in the lives of the people of God, the people of Israel. And here they are, after 40 years in the wilderness, after 400 years of bondage, they're standing again at an obstacle. They are on the edge of a brand new story. Staring at the banks of the Jordan River. They're in a moment of transition. And for more than one reason, God has them here for a reason. They're about to cross into a different place. From the wilderness into the promised land. One whole generation has died in the wilderness, and there arose another generation after them. It's transition. Things are changing. The man who has led them, God's man, Moses, the leader of God's people, has died as well. And now, at this pivotal moment in their history, the mantle has to be passed on to another. This is a time of transition for the people of Israel, for the one who would lead the people of Israel. Could you imagine being Joshua, the young man that sat at the feet of Moses and learned, taking over this weighty responsibility? The masses are weeping at the base of the mountain. Moses has gone into the mountain to die. What in the world are we going to do? It was Moses who led us out. It was Moses who lifted his rod and the Red Sea parted. It was Moses who threw a tree branch into bitter waters and they became sweet. It was Moses who prayed when we were hungry and God gave us manna and quail. It was Moses who was led by God in a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. It was Moses. It was Moses. How would you love to have been Joshua in that moment? Isn't it amazing how their grumbling and complainings turned into mourning? They murmured when he was alive, but they weep at his death. Here Joshua has to battle with the ghost of a great man. It's easy to elevate a man once he's gone. That's what they've done. They're overcome with sorrow. The man through whom God worked miracles is gone, and now all we have is this other guy named Joshua. He's unproven. He's young. Joshua, up to this point, hasn't worked any miracles, but it's his time to lead. It's a time of transition. He is trying to take the mantle in the midst of national sorrow. God knows if the children of Israel are going to follow him, then he has to prove Joshua in the midst of the people. God could have taken them straight through with no difficulty, but if he does that, then the people won't follow Joshua. And so God says, no, I'm going to work a miracle in their midst to put my hand, my stamp of approval on this man of God by the name of Joshua. And so God does something miraculous. Notice the source. Notice the source. God has brought them to Jordan at the wrong time. The Bible says that the Jordan was outside of its banks. It was flooded. What's amazing to me is that most of the year, Jordan is relatively shallow and narrow. And it can be crossed. But not at this time. If you get to the Jordan out of season, when the Sea of Galilee is dumping into it and the waters begin piling up, the Jordan River becomes swift and dangerous. God could have easily led the people of Israel during the time when Jordan would have been easy to cross, but he didn't. He waited for a specific time. He actually waited for the worst time of the year. That's the way God does it sometimes. Has anybody ever been led to Jordan at the worst time of the year? Yeah. I mean, the other time would have been a breeze, but not right now, Lord. Not at this moment. Couldn't we have waited for a better day? If you'd have come 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. Why does God wait until flood season? Why can't he do the work during the easy season? Some of you are probably going through some things right now and you're asking the same question that Israel probably asked. Why now? Why at this moment? It used to be easy to pay the bills. It used to be easy to plan. But now the floods come. I used to be able to make sense out of all of it, but now I can't tell which way the tide is turning in my life. The banks are flooded. The test is unpredictable. The Jordan is swollen. Why now, God? Why this sickness? Why this problem? Why this news during the flood season of my life? It's amazing how the condition of the Jordan mirrored their present circumstances. They were drowning in grief. Their present circumstances were out of control, just like the Jordan River was during the time of flood. You know why? Because God does some of his best work in flood season. Amen. God does some of his best work when you can't make sense of it. Right. When the waters are too high, when the problems are too great, when the needs are too daunting, it's during these seasons that God does his best work. Praise God. So why does he often lead us into situations at what seem to be the worst moments? I want to submit to you that it's because he's going to do that thing in a way that demands he gets the glory.
Amen.
That's why. He's the source. If we can take credit, we will. But if God works at the difficult moments of life, we can't take credit. When he works the miracle, he gets the glory.
Amen.
Praise God. So God brings the children of Israel to the Jordan at the worst of times. And then he tells Joshua, send the priest into the Jordan bearing the Ark of God. You remember what the Ark of God was? The Ark of God is that rectangular wooden box that's covered in gold. Inside that box, we see the Ten Commandments, the golden pot of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. The ark had the mercy seat on top of it. Cherubim, angels on each end with outstretched wings that reached across it. And it was there that God, the Bible says, God would dwell between the cherubims and meet in the midst of the people. What's he saying? God's saying in this moment of transition, when we're transitioning from Moses, the great man of God, to Joshua, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to carry you, Joshua. No one crosses until I tell you. And the priests did that. They carried the ark on their shoulders and walked into the swollen waters of the Jordan. Imagine having that as a job. You're toting the ark of God, which is where God dwelt. You've got it on your shoulders. You're trying to carry it like he said to carry it. Y'all remember what happened to the guy who didn't do what he said? He reached over and steadied the ark, fell over dead. These guys, this is a heavy task. They walk out into that swollen river of Jordan, and they stand in the midst of the Jordan, just like God said. As soon as their feet hit the water, two miracles happened. Y'all ready for this? First, the waters were cut off, and the Jordan opened up, just like the Red Sea. Secondly, the Bible says they walked on dry ground. Y'all don't miss that. God stopped the river.
Amen.
God stopped the onslaught. He dammed up the water so that they were cut off. Only He can do that. And then they walked across on dry ground, not muddy ground, not wet ground. They had to get across. They couldn't take carts and possessions across, stomping through the mud. God literally hardened the soil and dried it up so that they could cross the Jordan River during flood season.
Amen.
My goodness, He was the source. God will often allow us to experience or lead us into experience through which He wants to reveal Himself. Maybe that's why we're going through what we're going through in this moment of life. God wants to tell a story with your life. God wants to tell a story with your life. They made it through during flood season. They walked through on dry ground. There was no mud to carry to the other side. It was left in the bed of Jordan. He's the source this morning. The sorrow, the source. Now notice the stones. God does something amazing here. I'm getting somewhere. Stay with me. God does something amazing. He says, Joshua, I want you to do a few things. First, I want you to carry stones, 12 of them, from under the feet where the priest stood in the Jordan, and carry those 12 stones to the place where you will lodge in Gilgal. What a name. Take 12 stones under the feet of the priest, carry them into the land where you're going to lodge, and place them there. Build a monument. Take them. Put 12 stones. After you've taken 12 from under the feet of the priest, taken them to Gilgal and build a monument with those stones, I want you to take and put 12 stones, other stones, in the midst of the Jordan where they stood. So 12 from under the feet in the midst of the Jordan to where they will lodge, and 12 from where they will lodge back to where the priest stood. Why in the world are you having them do this, Lord? Two sets. One, memorializing where you've been, what He's brought you through, and another, memorializing where He's taking you.
Amen.
That was y'all's chance. Y'all could have ran. We could have looked Pentecostal this morning. Y'all missed your chance. Praise God. God says, I want you to remember where I brought you from.
Yes.
I want you to remember the miracles I worked in your life. I want you to remember all the work that I've done, but I also want you to know that there's a future out in front of you, a better tomorrow that I'm leading you to if you'll just let me lead. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We're so prone to forget. We're so prone to forget. We have a generation that's forgotten. Our problem is that we have no stories to tell. We haven't shared the message of the stones. So our children and our grandchildren, they're growing up without a heritage. The stones are there. We toted them out of the midst of the Jordan. We placed them in the place where we would lodge. We took the stones of our future. We put them back into the River Jordan as a memorial. We know the story. But how soon we forget. We've refused to tell those generations who come after us the message of the stones. What happens to a generation who hasn't been told? Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. One of the saddest passages of Scripture I have ever read. This is what happens when we forget and we don't give an answer to the meaning of the stones, the monuments of our life. Verse 10 says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. That's what can happen. From one generation to the next, the story and the stones were forgotten. The miracles, the stories of God working the miracles were not retold. One generation died, and there arose another generation after them who knew not the Lord. Tell them, I'm going to encourage you today, tell them what the stones mean. Amen? Yeah. Tell them your story. If you don't tell them the story of what God's done in your life and how God has transformed your life, then they're going to be abducted by everybody else's stories. TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, they've hijacked our children. They can tell you their names, their kids' names, their likes, their dislikes, their pet peeves. They can tell you what food they like. They know all about strangers on social media. One of the greatest treasures that I have are the memories and the experiences that my parents shared with me. I wish I could take you to a literal heap of stones. I wish I could do that. I'd point to every one of them and I'd tell you, this is what they are. That's where my alcoholic father found Jesus. Praise God. The whole trajectory of a family was changed. I would point out that right there is where the devil tried to take my mother, but God spared her life. That stone right there is the revivals of the 70s and the early 80s. That stone was a reminder of God's sustenance and His provision. That right there is where the stranger bought the groceries to put in the empty cupboards. Amen. That right there is where my brother was spared. What do the stones mean? Now I get to tell mine. I mean, this is what God can do. There was a time when we didn't have enough, but right there is where God met our need. That's where I was to be born handicapped, but God healed my body before I ever came out of the womb. Yes, praise God.
Yes.
That right there is, Layla, is where I walked around for 3 months with a ruptured appendix. That can't happen. It ain't possible. It sure did. 3 months, the surgeon said his body built a wall around the infection. For 3 months. Tell them what the stones mean. Rehearse. Remember. Don't forget.
Please, brother. All right.
Joshua, you take the stones and you build a monument. And every time you pass by this place, you remind them of what a good God I am.
Yes.
And the miracles I've worked in your life.
Oh, yeah.
The next generation needs to know that God gets the glory today.
Yes. Yes.
Never forget. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Deuteronomy 6 and 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Forgetfulness. Deuteronomy 8:11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 8:14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 8 and 18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It's easy to forget.
Yes.
It's easy to believe that you're your own source. It's easy to think it's all about you, from you, to you, through you. It's easy when you've gone from nothing to something to forget how you got there. Don't forget. Don't forget. Deuteronomy 6 and 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Well, I just read that. 10 through 12. God's reminding them, listen, everything you've got, you didn't do it, I did it. That's literally what those three verses mean. All of that bounty, all of that blessing that you've experienced, every bit of it.
Yeah.
It's not because you were smart and witty and talented.
Yeah.
I did it. Don't forget it. I prepared it. I let somebody else build the cities. I let somebody else plant the trees and dig the wells. I went before you. I'm behind you. I'm before you. I'm working it all out. Don't you forget me.
Amen.
Build the monument so you won't forget. Build the monument this morning so you won't forget. Lastly, notice the story in verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand. Why do we build the monument? Why do we set the stones? Why do we rehearse the stories? That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Listen to that. Israel, even though I'm going to bless you in the promised land, when you get there, you're going to be surrounded by pagan nations. They're going to be jealous of you. They're going to be mean. They're going to be vindictive. Just because you're in the promised land, it doesn't mean you won't struggle. There's going to be Jerichos and Ais. There'll be Hittites and Amalekites and Amorites. You're going to have enemies. The miracle at Jordan does not negate the fact that you will still have to struggle and fight. Praise God. You just learned the lesson from Jordan that the test was there to give you a testimony.
Amen.
That the flooded mess was to equip you with a message. That your sad story was part of His story. Praise God.
Amen.
Why? So the world can hear. Some of you right now need to remember, recap, and share your story.
Amen.
So that all the earth can hear. Now listen, I know there's parts of your story that's hard to deal with that you'd rather forget. I've got them too. But they're part of the story nonetheless. Pain and loss and frustration and failure and betrayal. Listen, there is no silver lining without the gray skies of our experience. There's no sunrise without the sorrow of the night. I think most of my story beats the old drum, "He did it again." He got me through again. He fixed it again. He brought healing again. My friend, beat the old drum.
Yes.
Let the world know. Let your children know. Some of you right now are sitting on your story. No! Build the monument. Speak the story. The stones were laid. You remember, but nobody knows the story behind the stones unless you recap and rehearse what God's done in your life.
Amen.
God says, I want them to hear the stories about you. I want your children and your grandchildren, your son and your son's sons to hear about the miracles. I want them to hear about the transformation. I want them to hear how I put your marriage back together. I want them to hear how your family can be restored. How bondages were broken. How addictions lost their hold. They need to hear about the hope, the joy, the strength, and this change this morning.
Yes, amen.
Amen. This room is filled with stories. This room is filled with testimonies. Sean, tell your story. Brother Randy, tell your story. Todd, tell your story. This room is full of stories that the world needs to hear. And God says, tell them.
Amen.
Don't forget. Don't run around in life with spiritual amnesia, unable to remember and rehearse what God's done in our lives. Build a monument. Tell the story. God, I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, for the miracles that you have worked in this building. God, I thank you, Lord, for the lives that are changed in this place today. Every person in this room, Lord, they've had unique experiences. Lord, they fought their own battles, Lord. They faced their own struggles, Lord. But we've all faced them in our own kind. It may not be exactly like what they've endured, Lord, but we fought our battles too. There's not one person in this room who is exempt from the obstacles of life. But Lord, if we'll do what Joshua did, if we'll let you lead us, God, you will work miracles in our lives and give us something to shout about. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this place this morning, Lord, who doesn't know you, they're standing at Jordan right now. They're standing at Jordan and trying to decide what they want to do. Are they going to stay back and try to fight another 40 years in the wilderness of life? Or are they going to trust you and let you lead them and commit their life to you? Lord, I pray that if they're there at the brink of Jordan, Lord, give them the courage to step in. Roll back the waters of life. Work a miracle in their hard life today. If that's you, this altar is open for you.
Thank you for listening to this recorded sermon from Brownsdale Baptist Church from Pastor Jonathan McCullough. If you'd like to speak with someone from our church, you can email us at pastor@brownsdalebaptistchurch.com.